Oh man, what a morning! I can barely get my heart to slow down this morning. I tell you what, I'm just pumped about what I'm seeing here today. I am humbled by the fact that God decided to bring me here. I'm so thankful for all of you. This may be Pastor Appreciation Month, but it gives me a good reminder of how much I appreciate all of you as well. How much I appreciate the love that myself and my family have received since coming here, and the fact that all of you work so hard for the kingdom with me as well. So thank you. I'm also reminded this morning of how much I appreciate the other people who are up here with me every week, or working in different areas of the church every week, up here, back there, coming to the table, reminding people of why we come together. I think it behooves us to make sure that we let those people know how much we appreciate them as well. How much we appreciate Colin up here keeping us on tempo. How much we appreciate Becca up here so I don't have to sing the girls' part. How much we appreciate Gary keeping us on track and Thelma keeping Gary on track. There's a lot to appreciate here, is my point, and we shouldn't forget that. Today is the last day in the Romans Road to Salvation series, and as I sat down to work on the sermon for today, I was reminded of all the things that we looked at during this series. We looked at some pretty hard stuff. Realizing that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that God hates sin. And so the wage of sin, the just reward, the fitting payment for sin is death. Some disturbing stuff. Because it's not just physical death. It's eternal death. But there's good news, too, because the free gift of God is eternal life. While the wage of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life. And it cannot be earned, which is good, because none of us would ever be able to. It cannot be earned, it is freely given. We have learned that through that faith in God, through that gift of salvation, through that grace which we could never earn, we will be saved. And that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That our sins, past, present, and future, are covered in His blood. Through this series, we've also had the opportunity to hear the stories of the other members of the leadership team that were up here earlier. And what a blessing that was. To find out where these men of faith and action came from. What brought them here. But all of that might have been topped by seeing God's plan in action when we got to see Emily be immersed right here behind me. I got to celebrate her rebirthday. There have been a lot of really amazing things that have come out of this series, and I really hope that the next series is beneficial as well as we begin talking about godly living as taken from the book of 1 Peter. It all kind of fits together, you know. I started my time here with a series about doing kingdom work and going out and bringing in people and making disciples, then a series about how to be saved, how it works, and hopefully being able to teach you to be able to bring others to Christ as well and teach them how to come to be saved. And then the next being how to live a godly life. It's almost like somebody planned it that way. It wasn't me. But today, today is not going to be anything like I had originally planned. Because as I sat down to write my sermon for this week, I had something in mind, and that changed. I sat down to write, and I was pushed very strongly in another direction. And I started to write out my story instead of writing the sermon. You know, the other leadership has shared with you their stories, and I think, you know, partially for the sake of solidarity, that I should perhaps share mine as well. And through that, I will talk about God's love for us and how no matter what may come, nothing can remove us from God's love. Now, my story could be really short or really long, but I'm going to try for something somewhere in the middle, hopefully. I grew up in the church. My dad is a pastor. I love the fact that I can say is a pastor and not was. He was forcibly retired from his last position because they basically stopped paying him. And now he is a pastor again. And he's so much happier in that position. My dad is a pastor. And so there was never a time that I can remember that I wasn't in church on Sunday. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, a week or so after I was born, I was in church on Sunday. I was always there. But I was also always pretty ornery and not really the type to sit and listen. In church, I was always in church, but I was probably the kid that was either asleep or the kid that was crawling over and under the pews and everything like that. One of the life-changing events for me was when my dad actually stopped in the middle of a sermon to take me outside. Talk about the fear of God. That one will always stick with me. I started to at least rein it in a little bit after that. But I wasn't ever paying attention. And so when I asked my parents to be baptized, I think they were pretty shocked that I had paid enough attention ever to know what that was. I think I was probably 8 or 9 years old. I don't really remember the date. I'm sure somewhere in the world there is a baptism certificate with my name on it. And truthfully, it was all at least partially because my sister was getting baptized that I wanted to in the first place. But I went through the baptism class. I learned what it was about, why I needed it. And it was a moment of change in me. I realized that even at 8 or 9 years old, my life was not really what it needed to be. I was not as good a kid as I should be. I was not good to my parents as I should be. So I was baptized when I was 8 or 9 years old. But I was also 8 or 9 years old, and as you well know, I'm sure, the attention span of an 8 or 9 year old kid is not very long. So I was pretty well over it within a couple months. Now, that's not to say that I no longer believed in God or that I no longer put my faith in Him or anything like that, but it was more just that I wasn't very intentional or dedicated when I was that age. I always knew that I was a Christian. I always knew that God was God and no one else was. I knew and understood the most important points, but the idea of a relationship with God was a pretty foreign concept to me at that time. And I didn't really get it until I was probably 12 or 13 years old, maybe a little older. And once again, it was my sister. She went to a youth rally and she came back completely changed. She not only knew of God, but she knew God when she came back. She had a relationship. She knew Him personally and knew that He knew her. And I wanted that with a passion. She was so different. You could almost tangibly feel the Spirit of God on her. Why didn't I have that? Why didn't I get that? So I started to pray more fervently than I had ever prayed before in my life. More fervently than when I really wanted a Super Nintendo. I prayed that God would show me how I could have what she had. That He could show me He was real. And eventually, He finally did. And my life was changed forever. God was no longer just a concept to me. He was real. He was alive. And that in me has never changed throughout my entire life. God to me has always been real from that point. Has always been in me, in my life from that point. And then I went to a youth rally a while after that, after God had been working on my life really strongly for a while. And at this youth rally, they were talking about being called to ministry. I was in, I think, 8th grade, and they were talking about this. It might have been the summer between my 8th and 9th grade years. Talking about being called to ministry, knowing that God had something in plan for you, that you would serve Him publicly, that you would dedicate your life, that you would entrust to Him your very living, being supported only by the ministry that you're doing. And they said, if you feel this call, come forward and we'd like to pray for you. And they started the music, and all of a sudden I was up there and I didn't even know how I got there. I felt the call deep within me, and from that point on, I knew that there was never anything else that I could do. I sometimes think, As I see some of my friends who, still work for the railroad. I could never do that. I see some of my, friends who have become pharmacists and think, man, that would be kind of a cool job. And I think about it. And I could never do that. Why? Because I could never do anything but what I'm doing right now. I could not. I knew that that calling was on me, and I think I always knew that, but I am human and extremely stubborn besides. And so much of my life from that point until 6 years ago or so, maybe seven, was spent running away and back to and away and back to my calling as someone being called to full-time ministry. Back and forth, back and forth. Running back and forth between what God wanted me to do and what I thought might be a better idea because, well, I'm so smart. I partied a bit in high school and more in my college years. I crammed my 4-year degree tightly into 8 years because, well, I couldn't make up my mind. I couldn't just do what God wanted me to do. It was a constant cycle. And it was frustrating. Debilitating, even. And there was a point, at one of the really low points of this constant cycle, that I wrote this song, and I thought I might play it for you this morning, because it kind of gives you an idea of just the type of life that I had, the feeling that I felt in that moment. The thing is that even though I kept running away from God and going off and doing my own thing, I never stopped believing in Him. I never stopped loving Him. I never stopped believing that Jesus was who He said He was. There was never a day I didn't talk to Him at least once. There was never a day where I didn't consider Jesus. And so to my knowledge, there was never a point at which I could say I was no longer a Christian or no longer saved. But there was a lot of guilt in my life. And it was most definitely not where I should have been. But it's faith that saves us. And my faith in Jesus was never in question. My trust in God's plan was definitely not where it should have been. Not what it should have been. But the faith was always there. We as Christians have down times. We all do. As new believers, there are often even times that we mess up continually for a long time. There may be years in our Christian lives that we look back on and say, wow, I was not a good Christian. I was not a good man. I was not a good husband. I was not a good person. But God is always there. There may be times when our faith is shaken by circumstances. There may be times that we are spiritually attacked. And that does happen. Me and Paula always like to tell each other about those because it reminds each other that we must be doing something right. Have you ever thought about that? If you are being attacked spiritually, if Satan is on your back, trying to stop you from doing something, trying to discourage you, you must be doing something right. But no matter what happens, no matter how you are messing up, the only thing that can remove you from God's grace is you. Only you can walk away. Only you can decide to no longer care about your walk with God. Only you can decide to ignore the daily parts of your Christian life. Only you can decide to no longer put your faith in Him. Only you can decide that you no longer believe in God's Word. And if you no longer believe in God's Word, you are rejecting Christ. Christ is the Word made flesh. Only you can remove yourself from God. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39 says, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Something that we don't always think of when someone is coming to salvation in Christ is that things are not always easy. Sometimes they're really hard. In some countries, people are killed just for believing in Jesus. Now, that doesn't happen here, but you will almost definitely be ridiculed. You will almost definitely be disliked by someone for your belief in Christ. Hated. Mistreated. But the encouragement that we find here in this passage is that we can take comfort in, is that even though they may take our pride, though they may even take our lives, they will never be able to take our salvation from us. 1 Peter 5:8 says that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. And the world is Satan's domain. The world will try to swallow you whole. But while they might eat our bodies, they can never swallow our souls. There's a song, and it had that line in it, and it always stuck with me. "Oh, those lions, they may eat my body, but they will never swallow my soul." Slinky. It's a weird song. Think about this from the angle of our sermon last week. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In the end, if you are in Christ, you will be saved. Now, this may be coming from a somewhat depressing place, but when you think about it, it is just one more level of our salvation that is incredibly encouraging. That you will be saved. There is no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus, and nothing and no one can take that from you. Even if you are ridiculed, even if you are beaten, even if you stray, as long as you keep coming back to Him, God is always there, always loves, and always forgives. It's something to truly be celebrated. The song that we're singing this morning talks about when that day comes, when we are face to face with Christ, sing a song of celebration. Why don't you stand with me this morning?